James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Genesis 21 verses 1 to 21 and Matthew 27 beginning at verse 5. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz entitled, What Now?
So thank you, Andy, for reading from Genesis, and it's chapter 21, verse 1 to 21.
The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac. The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named after you. And for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. As she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water of the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about a distance of a bow shot. For she said, do not let me look on the death of the child. As she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt.
Thank you very much, Andy. And then New Testament is from Matthew chapter 27.
Beginning at verse 57. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the tomb. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lynn and Andy. It's very short, and it's really kind of a key thoughts that came, which is the question, what now? We are at the stage where everybody who knew Jesus must have been in shock, not understanding what was going on. And here in this passage, we have a man called Joseph, and we know that he's a rich man, but he's also a disciple of Jesus. Made me think of the other story of the rich man who actually leaves Jesus, very sad because of what Jesus told him by pointing what was actually stopping him from being a true disciple, which was his richness. But this one, he's rich, but also a disciple. And what now with that question is when things don't seem to make sense, and that must have been the case for all those who knew Jesus. Maybe the what now is just do what you can and not what you can't. And so for Joseph, what he could was to offer his own new tomb for burial. And it must have taken some kind of courage to go to Pilate. Just imagine you going to the king in a kind of a time, a very stressed time, because this Jesus has just been crucified, so been treated as a criminal. And most probably, as we see in the rest, very high stake and lots of emotions with the priest and Pilate and the soldiers. But he does what he can. He goes to Pilate, mostly being a rich man. He was well known, because mostly not everyone could just go into the palace and says, can I have an audience with Pilate? So he must have been quite well known in influential circles. He goes, he makes his request, and he lays Jesus into his own tomb that he had carved for himself. But the other one that surprises me is the what now, are Mary Magdalene and the other woman. And what they can do is just to be there, present. They sit opposite the tomb. But if you notice, there is no mention of any of the disciples. They're not there. So what now for them? I don't know. It looks like Acts were thinking about, were mentioning about them hiding away, being together in a hiding place. So interesting that those got used mightily, like Peter, actually were not at the scene in that time. And it links a little bit with, for me, the first reading, what now? Sarah finally bear a son in her old age. But that also brings tension within the family. And she wants the slave woman and Abraham's other son, his first son, to be cast away. I'm not going to go through the complexity of it. Feels a bit lots to unpack. But she is cast away. Abraham received a promise that he's going to look after them, because we forget actually it's his son. So quite interesting. I don't know. We often see ancient culture as very misogynic and patriarchal, and here you have Abraham, who is the kind of feature of faith, who listened to his wife and who does what the wife says. So quite interesting here. He could just have said, "Hey, I'm the man of the man, you know, the house, you know, it's my way, or here's the door if you want to." No, God says, "You know, listen to your wife, do what she says." He sends her away, and for her, the what now was just to cry desperately to God, and that was her attitude. And God, I don't know why it comes by not saying, "I heard your voice." No, he says, "I heard the voice of the boy." He says, "I've been the one crying." Again, there. But what now? She did what she could in that situation, desperate. And God sees when we try to do what we can, not what we can't. And he takes sometimes the small acts of obedience, like sitting opposite a tomb, or maybe the more brave act of obedience, or whether he felt it was obedient or just the right thing to do. And maybe that's another one. Maybe sometimes when it's what now, is it, well, what is the next right thing to do, even if it's a small thing? And the next right thing to do is an act of faith, an act of not allowing the grief or the evil to overcome us, but to overcome evil, one passage says, by doing good, by just doing a nice, small, sometimes act of kindness. So what now? And for me, it says, well, what now today? What when I'm going to face circumstances that might surprise me? What small act of good can I respond to if it's a challenge, a difficulty, or if it's an injustice?
Yes, certainly. Excuse me, a frog in my throat. With the situation with my grandson, you know, when I find myself walking along and thinking, you know, trying to, well, I can't imagine where the future is or what the future is going to bring for him. But then I then realise that God is asking me to be patient and he has it in hand. And so I put my hand in my pocket and find my little cross and just repeat, you know, those favourite words of mine, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. And yeah, for me, it's learning to wait patiently on God and he will sort it out in his time. Whatever that is, we can't see what that is. We have to be patient, but call on him. He asks us to call on him and he will just give us that patient stillness and peace. And hopefully that attitude of mine is then relayed to, you know, to his mum and dad. So that's my prayer. So, yeah, what now? It certainly is something comes... comes up into my mind a lot.
And that patience, Lynn, is something that Mary Magdalene and Mary did by sitting outside the tomb. They didn't fall for the deception of the Pharisees and the priests who decided to put the stone across the mouth of the tomb for the first 3 days. There was something that kept them there. You know, their faith kept them there. It's ironic that the priest, the Pharisees and the priests put the stone there so that they thought that the disciples would not deceive them by stealing the body. Well, in fact, you could say the Pharisees and the priests were themselves deceiving you know, the disciples, and also perhaps trying to deceive Mary and Mary Magdalene as they sat there. So that's a wonderful picture, I think, of these two women sitting outside the tomb, despite the fact there was a stone there.
But let's pray as we allow those passages to inform our prayers and trust in the God who sees. I think in all those passages, he saw Hagar and he saw the child and he saw their situation and he saw the acts, even small acts of faith of Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and Joseph. Lord, you see our prayers, you hear our prayers, you see our heart, our longings when we have loved ones that walk through mentally what is truly a valley of darkness. And Lord, through our prayer, Lord, be their shepherd, their protector, their guide. Like you remind through the prayers or the cries or whatever was going in Agar's mind and what she knew about you through the faith of Abraham. You were at work also with the child. You heard the child, the boy.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.